Welcome to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast with your host, Nicole Rose from the Solidarity Apothecary. This is your place for all things plants and liberation. Let's get started. Hello, welcome back to the Frontline Herbalism Podcast. Guess where I'm recording this? That's right, in a fucking car. Car park because of my baby, dropping off my baby. Anyhow, I'm not going to bore you with those details, but I just want to replug that the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course is open for enrollment. If you've joined the course before, I would love you forever if you could share it on your networks. My Instagram still gets like zero fucking views because I talk about genocide and Sudan and all the things and just anti-fascist stuff, and it just gets invisibilized, which is frustrating. But if you can share it just like DIY amongst your friends, like in Signal groups and chats, on email lists you're on, like I would really fucking appreciate that. As I've said before, it's like completely sliding scale offering. No one's turned away for lack of funds. And you can access it for free if needed. It's fucking amazing offering. 8 modules from everything from the politics of trauma and how trauma affects the body and all the geeky anatomy and physiology around the nervous system, as well as like different kind of evolutionary nervous system states. And then just all about the herbalism, like, you know, which plants are like relaxant to the nervous system, which are more sedating, how can we work with stimulating nervines when appropriate, how do we work with nerve tonics to recover from, chronic stress or trauma. It's all in there. And I only open it twice a year, so it's not going to be available until next March. So please get stuck in if you can. So like everyone I know, I've got a little bit of a sore throat. I've been fighting a virus. Most people I know have some kind of upper respiratory infection. So me and the bubs stayed away from everyone last week, but I'm feeling a lot better. But I'm just a bit nervous of tiring my voice out. So I'm only going to record a short episode today. And then, we'll hopefully come back and record some things. I really want to focus on like nerve tonics and all about support for chronic stress. But I just wanted to share something that I wrote back in the spring, also when I was promoting the PTSD course, but it's kind of stayed with me. And since kind of starting to facilitate this Hawthorne program for people experiencing repression, I guess it's like emerged as like an important theme that I'm still really seeing in kind of movements and in, you know, my social groups, which is really this like, you know, kind of relationship to like self-neglect. So I'm just going to read what I wrote and then I will talk a little bit more about it and how it, you know, relates to herbalism more. So the piece is called Herbalism, A Rebellion Against Self-Neglect. When my parents broke up and my dad moved to the other side of the world, to Australia, I was left with my mum's deep depression and the grueling reality of bringing up 2 kids alone with no financial support in a system designed to keep you in poverty. From 4 years old, I was left with the impression that I had to take care of myself. I became the hyper-responsible, hyper-independent child forced to be an adult. I learned that to receive love, I had to give emotional support. It was no wonder that prisoner support became the heartbeat of my life for 20 years, with its comforting familiarity and proximity to suicidality, distress, and despair. The elders around me in the social movements I found as a child rewarded self-neglect and self-sacrifice. The more I threw myself into full-time organizing, risky actions, arrests, and repression, the more validation I gained. I had no idea how to take care of myself or see my own needs beyond the codependent blur of being useful to others. It was in a prison yard that I found herbs, or they found me. I realize now that plants taught me how to receive. I learned it was okay to eat bowls of their leaves to help ease the hunger in prison. I learned it was okay to drink a tea to help me sleep through the screaming on the wing. I learned it was okay to sleep with a dandelion root under my pillow to feel safer and less alone in my cell. Embracing herbalism meant learning about the body, about anatomy and physiology, illness and disease, and so much more. Over the years, subtly and unconsciously, I learned to take care of myself, not in a hyper-independent, trust-no-one kind of way, but in a way where I could feel my body's cues. I could understand my different nervous system states. I could recognize when I was exhausted. I could notice when a cold was coming on. And for all these cues, I knew that the plants would take care of me in that moment. I made medicine for myself. I eased flashbacks and volatile dysregulation through foraging and harvesting herbs from the hedgerows. I allowed myself to receive this love, care, and company and nourishment from plants. Herbalism was an act of rebellion against self-neglect. In the words of Potawatomi author and botanist Robin Wall Kimmerer, in some native languages, the term for plants translates to those who take care of us. I hope you will let them take care of you too. So, yeah, I guess, don't know why I feel so emotional today. I think I'm pretty menstrual. But I just wanted to talk a little bit more about this, and that I think lots of people who will listen to this podcast will, you know, be kind of like organizer, activist-y, anarchist types, right? Like you're my kind of people, you know, like you're involved in some kind of social struggles or social change work, you know, whether that's just like working at a community garden or whether that's, you know, like frontline doing like direct actions, going in and out of prison, you know, living on a protest camp or, you know, running an anarchist bookshop or all the things, like all the, you know, massive diversity of tactics we have. There is just such a culture of self-neglect and self-sacrifice. And, you know, I was completely invested in this, like in the second chapter of my Overcoming Burnout book. It's called like, When Did I Get So Mean? And that's because the judgment of everyone of like, oh, that person went on a fucking holiday. Like, how the fuck did they afford that? Or we really needed them at that anti-fascist demo. Like, and they're on a fucking holiday on the beach. Or, you know, oh, that person says they're a comrade, but they're going off to do some like master's degree. Like they've just sold out. Or, you know, like, oh, this person can't come and help cater at this, like, prisoner letter writing event. Like, so they got period pains. Like, just fucking man up, you know? Like, everyone gets period pains. Like, I had such fucking, like, internal horrible judgment of other people. Worst of all, myself, you know, not letting myself rest, not letting myself do anything for myself, you know? Like, not buying like new fucking clothes or, you know, like never fucking going on a trip. Like I literally didn't want to go abroad in case something happened to my friends in prison for so many years. And then eventually I did start going abroad, but only to do like solidarity tours or anti-repression events, like never just to like have a fucking relax or a rest or anything like that. So yeah, it was, you know, like I'm talking like years and years and years of self-denial and just kind of like, yeah, like all of my self-worth being based on what I give to these struggles, how hard I'm working. And I actually wrote another Instagram post recently about self-neglect and how my mentors in the animal liberation movement, you know, like I got involved in these movements when I was literally like 10 years old. So I was just like soaking everything up as like a sponge. And I think compared to my mum, these people were like really active, had really good mental health, were like phenomenally organized. And, you know, I was sort of coming from this kind of like chaotic home environment, I guess. So I was really like putting all of these people on a pedestal in the movement. And one of them, Jilly, who was like my best friend in the world, who died in 2015. God, like fucking time, eh? She like, you know, she was like the epitome of self-sacrificing organizer. Like she never had any fucking money. Like she was on benefits, like near enough her entire life, not as a child, but as an adult. She was like full time in the struggle, like doing the badger cull, not sleeping, not eating properly, never buying supplements. It was like every, not that she had any spare money, but if she ever did, it was always donated somewhere. And this path of neglect just, you know, I hate to say it, but it did lead her to an early grave, like as well as fucking constant fucking chain smoking. But it's like, I grew up seeing these people around me, their needs were always last. And that taught me a lot, right? And it taught me to feel included. I had to earn it through organizing, the way that I had to earn my parents' love or my mum's love, through emotionally supporting her and listening to her and being kind. like I kind of learned similar in movements, right? And then I had all this time in the prisoner support world, which I'm still in, but really fucking intensely codependent of my self-worth is based on supporting people in prison. And, you know, like, are they supporting me back? I don't know. Like, okay, a handful of them are fucking amazing friends who have been amazing for me through my pregnancy and through having my baby boy. And some of them, after, you know, 15 fucking years of like giving them everything, haven't, you know, just fucking dropped me out, like when I got pregnant. So it's like, you know, but that was my choice, even though my choices were driven by really intense, like subconscious drivers of, I'm not allowed to fucking rest. I'm not allowed to prioritize myself. And I think I had this massive breakdown in 2019, where I had just like really huge like PTSD episode, like after a bunch of bereavements. And I think I've written about it, but I was like, you know, every time a friend was calling from prison, I was like violently throwing up. Like I couldn't sleep. I had like horrific nightmares, you know, like daily panic attacks. Like could barely leave the house. It was actually the first time I stopped visiting people in prison for like 2 months. Because I was in a really bad state. And it was then that I was like, right, flag in the sand, like I have to matter here. Like I have to start prioritizing myself. And I really feel like herbalism was the thing that enabled me, you know, like I've written in this self-neglect piece, that enabled me to take care of myself. You know, it was like the foraging and the medicine making and the studying, like the clinical training was like one of the best like times of my life of just learning and learning and learning. And okay, I was doing that for the Solidarity Apothecary because I wanted to support people. So, you know, there was an element of it being driven, but it felt so amazing to me that it was actually doing something that was like, this is for me. Do you know what I mean? And I think that's what I want the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course to feel like for people, because yeah, I'm not the only fucking one with this pattern, right? I'm calling you out if you're listening to this. But like, I wanted to create a course that had no pressure, that had no deadlines, no assignments, no fucking relationality of you have to be in a forum and you have to be on group calls and you have to navigate this person and that person and their needs and do they like me and what was this conflict about? Like, you can just fucking study in solitude and nourish yourself. You can go for a walk and listen to a plant profile in your headphones. You can go and harvest medicine and, you know, actually get into a more parasympathetic nervous system state because you're doing something so fucking primal and delicious that's engaging all your senses. You know, if obviously if you're able to move like that, not everyone I know can, you know, walk and forage, but I mean, doing anything like herbally related can be so nourishing. And I wanted the Herbalism PTSD and Traumatic Stress course to feel like that for people, because I know obviously studying trauma is a bit gnarly, but like it's only the first module where I really talk about how trauma affects the body and like different patterns of distress. But I haven't found anyone that said to me like, do you know what, I couldn't cope with this material. In fact, the opposite. I feel like people have said like, you know, this has given me a language to describe how I'm feeling. Like, it's like super non-pathologizing. I'm being like really kind to myself now. I've got this like framework. But yeah, I just wanted the course to feel like a fucking comfort blanket for people who struggle to prioritize themselves. Because, you know, even if you have dreams and ambitions of doing herbal projects and herbal solidarity work for other people, which is fucking awesome, I'm all about that. It is also important for you to invest time and energy in yourself. You know, like, I don't know who needs to hear it as a permission slip, but like, it is fucking okay to have a fucking holiday or to have a fucking rest or to eat a healthy meal or to have a lie-in with your partner. You know, like, I had this partner, Anna, who got killed in Rojava, and I never fucking spent a day with her, you know, and in her Valentine's Day card to me, you know, which she gave me like, not long before she left to go to Syria, she said to me, like, we'll get that whole day together one day. And that fucking hurts now because I wouldn't give her a whole day. You know, I wouldn't give this person that I loved my fucking time and energy. And that, you know, and I'm compassionate to myself about that now because I know that that was like a trauma response of like not being able to like sit still for 2 seconds to sit with my feelings. Does that make sense? But like, yeah, if you're listening to this, like, I know there's all this fucked up stuff going on in the world and that, like, you know, you know, like people in survival, you know, in Sudan or Gaza or even fucking Calais, you know, like they don't get a fucking day off or they don't get to go fucking swimming or go to a spa or whatever. But like, we have to do this work for the long fucking haul, you know, like nothing is going to get easier anytime soon. Like, we're not going to have some magic revolution and then that gives you the opportunity to rest and live the life that you want to live, you know, or learn the skills you want to learn or fucking paint or do whatever. Like, this is our lives now. Like, this is what we've fucking got. So like, you have to be able to take some time to like nourish your spirit and nourish your body. And, you know, and I feel like herbalism is like such a fucking gift, because if you struggle to do that stuff, I'm not saying, okay, put yourself first in an individualist, like horrible way. Like, I'm saying it in a way that like, you fucking matter, and our politics of care and solidarity and love also fucking mean that you matter and your needs matter, and that it is okay to fucking rest and take a break, and it is okay to, you know, invest in something that will improve your life, that will give you a language to name your nervous system, that will give you this amazing herbal toolkit of ways to take care of yourself and your loved ones. Like, it is fucking okay. So anyway, yeah, I didn't want to like end this with like, oh, a shameless plug for the course, but I did just want to say, like, I do think this course is very compatible for people who are self-sacrificing, martyr-y kind of organizer types, because you can fucking do it whenever, you know? There's no pressure. It's not like going to university and then you have to prioritize this institution. It's like, you can study when you're on a fucking train for a prison visit, or, you know, like waiting for someone at the police station and you just, you know, you're sat there for 6 hours and you want to just listen to something in your headphones. Like, it is really flexible, and, you know, you can pick it up and put it down, or start doing one module every 6 months. Like, it's, you know, lifetime access. So yeah, I just wanted to say that. And fucking hell, don't know why I'm so emotional, but I'm not going to apologize for it. And I will be back soon with more podcasts, with like more specific herbal related content. We're going to look at some of my favorite nerve tonics and some of the nerve tonics explored in the course. I'm also going to do a specific episode about sleep, and I'm going to share an episode all about my favorite like anti-repression resources, as we're still in this like herbal support through repression series. But yeah, I better stop there because everyone's looking at me because I'm in a fucking car park. Anyway, thanks so much for listening. Okay, take care.
Thanks so much for listening to the Frontline Herbalism podcast. You can find the transcript, the links, all the resources from the show at solidarityapothecary.org/podcast.